May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Andrew J. McGowan. I'm at the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. Harvey Jackson. The question before this Court is whether Mr. Jackson presented a fair and just reason to withdraw his guilty plea for the possession of a firearm in furtherance of a drug trafficking offense. Mr. Jackson admitted that he possessed a firearm for protection. However, it was in his bedroom. The cocaine that was found was in the kitchen, the 31 grams. And there is no other evidence in the record about any transactions that occurred. Without more than his admission to possessing it for protection, under Heller, I believe it's insufficient to establish this offense. Heller holds that individuals have a constitutionally protected right to possess guns for, among other things, protection. As a result, the conviction in this case is very suspect. I've suggested that Mr. Jackson may have an argument that he's innocent, but it does appear as though he has a defense to the particular charge in this case. Before Heller, the facts in this case would probably have been sufficient to establish possession and furtherance offense in this circuit. I think particularly in Duran, the statement that one legal theory that has been advanced and unanimously accepted is that a possessed gun can forward a drug trafficking offense by providing the dealer, his stash, or his territory with protection, is the problem. And I believe that the participants in this case, the parties, certainly thought that. Three defense attorneys and the government still thinks that. But I think that's questionable in light of Heller. I've cited to a Ninth Circuit case that I think is very much on point, and I believe is an example of how the Ninth Circuit does seem to limit possession for protection of the drugs as the basis, not necessarily protection of the person. In the Monzon opinion, where the defendant wished to get out of his guilty plea on plain error, under facts very similar to this case, although they are worse, is my main case. I would argue that, even though Mr. Jackson pled guilty and it's hard to overcome a guilty plea, I don't believe that his statements actually are inconsistent with the statements before this court. He's still admitting that he possessed it. He elaborated a little bit on that possession at sentencing, where he said that he lived in a bad neighborhood. The government didn't argue that he didn't live in a bad neighborhood, and it is in East St. Louis. And I'd also point to the fact that the district court relied pretty much on Mr. Jackson simply saying, yes, sir, to the questions that he posed. Although there's a written statement of facts in this case, the only thing that Mr. Jackson specifically said was that he had the gun for protection. The other evidence to establish this 924C offense was the agent's opinion that drug dealers needed guns for protection.
Just so I can better understand your argument, Mr. McGowan, is it your position that Heller, or in light of Heller, there is now a constitutionally based defense to the gun charge in this case, the 924? Is that what you're asserting?
It's just a little more complicated than that. I'm saying that there is a defense in this case under these facts. All that we know is that Mr. Jackson possessed it for protection. And the question is it protection for what? Now, he had the guns in his bedroom. They were both in cases, I believe. And although they were loaded, he did say he was in a bad neighborhood, and it was for self-protection. The distinction in the Ninth Circuit, I believe, is that if the guns are for protection of the drugs, that would establish a 924C offense. My argument is essentially that this circuit's broad statement that a drug dealer can't possess a gun for self-protection is questionable in light of Heller. Does that clarify my argument?
Well, I guess it clarifies the legal issue that you're raising. There's still plenty of circumstantial evidence that he was protecting his drug dealing activity. So there would not be a fair and just reason to withdraw the plea based on...
Well, suppose we understand the federal statute as saying you can't possess drugs in any place where you have a gun for self-protection. Any problem with such a statute? It's obviously valid.
I don't necessarily see a problem with that, no.
Right. Well,
But in this case, the
so
drug...
if you construe this as adding time for having a drug and guns in the same place, there doesn't seem to be any conceivable constitutional problem.
Your Honor, I believe that a person can possess a gun for self-protection. I think that the actual 924C...
No, but look, the enhancement comes about from having the drugs and the gun in the same place.
That's exactly what...
If you've got your gun for self-protection in Cicero, Illinois, and your drugs are in the loop, no problem. His problem is that the drugs and the gun are in the same building.
I disagree.
You disagree that they're in the same building?
No. I agree that they're in the same building. In fact, they're in the same apartment.
Right.
But they're in different rooms. And I would disagree that somebody can't possess a gun for self-protection in the same building that a gun's in, that drugs are in. I just think that's a little bit too far from the 924C statute, the intent of Congress, the Ninth Circuit. And for those reasons, we request that Mr. Jackson be allowed to withdraw his guilty plea in this case. I believe it is a fair and just reason. And unless there are any questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Certainly, Mr. McGowan. Ms. Hudson.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. District of Columbia versus Heller. Like most rights, the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited. The Second Amendment does not authorize a right to keep and carry any weapon whatsoever, in any manner whatsoever, for whatever purpose. The government disagrees with the appellant's statement that Heller creates a right for drug dealers to keep a gun for their personal protection. This court's already recognized that a gun can be used to further drug trafficking for possession of the stash, the location, or the individual himself. The issue here is whether or not sufficient facts have been established to support that this is, in fact, an unlawful reason, and therefore the Second Amendment is not at all implicated. What we look at in the stipulation of facts here are not just the simple statement from the appellant that he had this gun or these two guns for protection. The evidence within the stipulation of facts also indicates there was some $3,650 in cash, that the appellant made a statement on his HUD application that he only made $4,000 a year. The stipulation of facts also indicates that there were materials present in his apartment to manufacture fake ecstasy. There was 31 grams of cocaine that was for distribution, along with binding materials and one of the dye packs used in order to manufacture the ultimate caplet, the fake ecstasy. The defendant's statement that counsel raises, yes, sir, to the district court's questioning. The district court didn't just say, did you do this? The district court went through a very lengthy hearing, and this was a plea to an information. And at that hearing, the district court asked him, did he have time to talk with his counsel, asked him if he had read the 13-paragraph, 5-page stipulation of facts, and was everything completely true and accurate? And the appellant said, yes, sir, to all of those questions. The district court also asked him each of the elements, did you do this? And he answered, yes, sir.
Have you gotten an indictment of Jackson for perjury?
We have not done that yet, Your Honor.
There would be a lot fewer of these frivolous motions if you indicted people for perjury. The district court found that everything Jackson said in support of this motion was perjury.
That's correct.
And, of course, the only alternative, if what he said in support of his motion was true, is that what he said when entering the plea was perjury.
Correct.
And, of course, under the inconsistent declaration statute, all you have to do is introduce the two declarations and... there he goes. We see an awful lot of these motions that are effectively confessions of perjury, and you only have to invoke the inconsistent declaration statute.
You're correct, Your Honor. The court did make that statement that the defendant's statements during his motion to withdraw plea were not to be relied upon at all. There were many instances of it. The court had to direct him to answer questions. the government respectfully requests the court to find that the district court did not abuse its discretion and uphold the finding not to withdraw the plea. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hudson. Anything further, Mr. McGowan?
Not
now, not till the inconsistent declarations indictment comes down, right?
Final point, yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. McGowan.